I'm going to ask you a question you've probably not been asked, maybe ever. For some, maybe you have. Simple question. How many of you have gumption? Seven Baptists here today with gumption, I'm telling you. I just wondered about it. Well, see, I understand that language is foreign to many of us. We don't use that language. Now, I understood that word. I grew up with that word. And I took a look at the dictionary and found that gumption means courage. So I could have said, how many of you have courage? And most of your hands would go up. That gumption means confidence. That gumption means initiative. It's taking the baling wire and making something work. There's a lot of that in Southwest Missouri. I just want you to ponder for a moment about this issue of gumption. I want you to hold in your mind this question. Do you have the gumption to function as a member of this church? Do you have the gumption to function as a member of this church? Now, you hold that question in mind, and let me tell you that today is the first of a new series that we've entitled Count Me In. It's based on the Word of God, and we'll be going in a little bit to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But it's also been shaped by a gentleman by the name of Tom Rainer and his little and powerful book called I Am a Church Member. The book, when it came to me, was a very quick read, but as I read through it and specifically, listen to me, as I saw the commitments, the pledges that he was calling the members of a church, the members of a church to make, I realized something. And what I realized is this. This could change your life, and this could change our church. And so I've said publicly, and I say it again, you come this Sunday, you're already here, come five more weeks by the 30th of March. I know we can be in a very different place. We can be reoriented in a very radical way to the call that God has upon our lives. And I want you to understand something. Listen to this. And I'm probably going to say this every week. And so if you're a note taker, you might write this down, because it's kind of the series thesis. It's the truth that I want to bring to bear week after week after week. And by the way, there's a sermon note sheet in that service folder if you need it. But here's what I want you to ponder. Listen to this. Today's commitments fashion tomorrow's future. I want you to ponder that. I think that's so true. It seems like it ought to be evident. And I think it's both a warning and a promise. Listen to it again. Today's commitments fashion tomorrow's future. And I challenge every one of us, do not buy the lie of Satan that says tomorrow is what it is. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. And that there's nothing we can do today to change what will happen. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. Yes, sir. Yes. That's not true. Today's commitments fashion tomorrow's future. Think about your own life, and I think about mine, and I realize how true it has been that the commitments that I made have fashioned my life. And the commissions that we have made as a family have fashioned our lives. The future is still waiting to be fashioned by the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. I think that's worth saying another time. I like it. The future is still waiting to be fashioned by the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And today's commitments fashion tomorrow's future. And I believe that with all of my heart. So every day in this series, we're going to be challenging you to make commitments. And I mean this literally. You say you do that every week? We do. But I want you to know that we're going to do that. In fact, you'll find in your service folder in a little while the first commitment. And these came directly from Dr. Rainer's book. And I've got the first one marked. And so when we get through here in about 20 minutes or so, that's going to be where I'll be taking you, because I believe that today's commitments fashion tomorrow's future. Listen to me. There is a tendency within the church to do what I call self-fulfilling prophecy that looks ahead and says, oh, well, things are going so bad in America. It's just going to get worse and worse, and we're going down the tubes, and the church is losing influence. And so we say those things as if there were no God. And I declare to you, there is a God. And He's still large, and He's still in charge. And God can still do things that you cannot even imagine. And He promises that if we'll seek Him, He'll show us great and mighty things that we do not know. Do not fall into the trap of saying, listen, after Pastor Hosey steps down from the platform on the 17th of August, oh, this is going to happen and that's going to happen or whatever. I'll tell you what I hope will happen. The greatest revival this church has ever seen will happen at that time. Give Him praise for that. Hallelujah! And for those that would say it can't happen, I say the Bible says nothing is impossible with our God. Today's commitments fashion tomorrow's future. And we're going to look at those. So we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You have your Bible or you can follow along on the screen. No better passage to read about the future for the church and what it can be and should be than these verses. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 would be a serious topic of discussion and study in your life for probably a year's time at least. It's so very rich. Paul bringing to bear his great intellect and his Spirit-inspired writing to give us a picture of the church. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I want you to understand that I believe fervently that today's commitments will fashion tomorrow's future. And I also believe, and I'm back to that word I started with, listen to this. I believe every member can have the gumption to function. I believe that. You say, not me, I'm too old. My gumption went to sleep a few years ago, and I have not been able to wake it up. Listen, I don't believe anybody that's sucking in air cannot serve our Lord with gumption. Whatever that may be in your particular time and circumstances in life. So we're looking really this morning as we read the text, we're looking for a question. What would encourage one who has not been functioning to function? What would give gumption to me? What would give gumption to you? Got your Bible? Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read a while. You listen attentively. Press in to the Word. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7 ought to be circled in your mind. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, Where would be the smelling? But now, here's another pivotal verse. Now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are what? Necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God, here it is, composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members, and members individually. And all God's people said, amen. Now, here's what I want. Let me be very clear. I'll tell you what I want. In just a little while, you're going to be taking out a little card here, and it's going to have a pledge on it. It's going to have a commitment on it. And some of you are going to take it out now and read it while I'm talking. No, no, no. Don't do it now. It's coming later. I'm just telling you, okay? But anyway, you're going to take this out, and I'm going to tell you where I'm going. I'm going to where I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to make a commitment. I'm going to challenge you to make it now. Listen, the future starts today. The future starts here. And it is today's commitments that fashion tomorrow's future. And so I'm going to be asking for that. I want you to know that right up front. I'm going to ask you to have the gumption to function. I'm going to ask that the head of the household, now that may be you today because you may not have anybody more the head of the household than you are with you, but I'm asking the head of the household to take spiritual leadership in just a little while and really make that pledge on behalf of the people over whom he or she has influence in that family. So I'm just telling you where I'm going. But I want you to have that gumption to function as a member of this body of Christ so that together, we can fashion the future that the Father has in mind for this church. Isn't that good? Oh, I'm looking forward to that because I know He's a good Father. So how can I help me and how can I help you have the gumption to function? I understand many of you already have that gumption, and I thank God for you. But if you don't yet, or if you've not been exercising it, how can I encourage that? So I'm going to give you three encouragements, and I'm not going to take long on it. So you, if you're a note taker, you jot them down. These three understandings, these three encouragement can help you have the gumption to function. And I want to say again, every member of this church can have the gumption to function. And the world has not yet seen a church where every member was functioning as God intended them to be. And I'll tell you what I'd like. I'd like this to be the church. I'd like this to be the church and this to be the time when every one of us say, I will function as a member of the church. Are you ready? Here we go. Number one, we function knowing it is His ministry, not ours. I'm going to say that again because I think it's important. We function knowing that it is His ministry, not ours. Verse 7, pivotal verse. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. But notice it says it's the manifestation of the Spirit. Oh, my friend, if I can teach anything before I end my time here, it's to teach this. It's not my ministry. It's not your ministry. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, of the living God, that makes the life of Christ visible to our community, to our world. It is not my ministry. And we function with gumption because it is His ministry, not ours. Now listen, some of us think that ministry is Jesus working through us. But some others think that ministry is me working for Him. And I got to tell you, that's a a distinction that makes a difference. Because if you think, oh, well, ministry is me working for Jesus, and I just don't think I can do much, so I'm going to sit on the sidelines. I'm going to let my gumption go to sleep here. Then I understand why you would say that. But listen to me, friend. Our God can take anybody and do great things through them because our God's a great God. He's not, nobody's that big compared to God anyway. It's not my ministry. It's not your ministry. And we function with gumption when we know that it is His ministry, not ours. He's distributing to each one individually as He wills. Verse 11. He sets the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. Verse 18. And verse 24 makes it so clear. He composed the body. He composed the body. And when I begin to understand that, it gives me a dignity without pride. A dignity without pride. And I recognize and know that I have a part to play. And in the eyes of some, it may be so small, but it's my part and no one else can do my part. And if I'm out of place and I'm not functioning, then I diminish the beauty of the bride and body of Christ. And that's not light. That's not life. That's serious. I'm wanting us all to function. I'm wanting every member of the body. And I think it encourages me when I simply remember that it is His ministry, not ours. That allows me to function with gumption because I know that. It gives me courage when I know it's His ministry. It gives me confidence when I know it's His ministry. It gives me initiative when I know it's His ministry. Listen, it gives me gumption. When I know it's His ministry, it is Christ in me. He is working through me. He's working through you. And listen, surely you heard it, but I'm going to say it again. If you say, I have no gift, you call God a liar. Okay, have we made it clear? If you say, nope, you know, when God came along, He gave out gifts to all new believers except me. You just made Him a liar because the Bible says it and says it so clearly. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. And that manifestation of the Spirit reminds us that it is His ministry, not ours. Number two. We function with gumption knowing it's a symphony, not a solo. And I love this metaphor. We function with gumption, knowing it is a symphony, not a solo. One of the great parables of the church that I have witnessed in my life was a video, and I tried to find it, couldn't find it. But it was a video of a professional orchestra coming into the performance space. And they're coming in one at a time, if you can use your imagination. And they're taking their places and they're checking all the things they have to check. And then they begin to play. And there's a bassoon over here and he's kind of warming up. And over on the other side is a trombone. And over on the another part of it is a person playing a flute. And on the another part of it is a person with a saxophone. And then all the strings begin to tune in. And it is the most incredible, awesome chaos. Absolute chaos. And you know, I will tell you that if there were no conductor in the church, that's the way the church will always be. Chaos. And you watch that thing, and they're just making all this racket, it sounds like. And then a conductor comes in, and he takes up his place. And he lifts his baton. And suddenly all of that chaos becomes ordered. All of that chaos becomes something of great beauty because the Master has taken all of those diverse gifts and has brought them together, not as a solo, but as a symphony. Now listen to me. There's nothing wrong with a solo. But I will tell you right now, we are not called to be solo Christians. That's not New Testament Christianity. And I'm hearing a lot of that right now. I'm hearing a lot of that. I got to tell you. I was here Friday night for the concerts. How many of you were here Friday night? A good number of you. The rest of you, oh my, you missed one of the great blessings of my life. fill this place up. There were people sitting down to this last stripe here. My guess is probably at least 1,700, maybe more. Great gospel quartet music and some solo music as well. And everything that they did, I loved. And even the song that challenged my brain, because I think it's wrong. It's good. I mean, they did a great job on it. In fact, the matter is, I don't want to offend anybody, but in times past, we've done it here. But I sure, if we're ever going to do it again, we're going to explain it. And I'll tell you why. It's a great song. And here's what it says. Long as I got King Jesus, don't need nobody else. It's a fun song. I mean, it's a wild and fun song. Long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, don't need nobody else. Not my brother, not my brother, not my sister, not my preacher, not yet. But it's fun. It's also not true. It's not. The whole tenor of the New Testament is we are not solo saints. We are a symphony for a Savior. It's not a solo. And if it were a solo, I'd understand why a lot of you would say, no, I'm not going to function. I'm going to sit. Here's my spiritual gift. It's called sitting. Oh, and by the way, I'll throw in arm crossing. Because I'm a gifted arm crosser. And you'll do it. Because you say, listen, I can't do solos. By the way, the choir was wonderful today. And when David stepped up and sung, man, that's a good use of a solo in that context. There's nothing wrong with solo. I do that. But I'm saying this as a church. The ministry of a church is not a solo act by any pastor, any worship leader, any teacher, any elder, any deacon. It is a symphony of praise to our Savior Jesus Christ. That gives me gumption. The gumption to function. So listen. Here's what we've said. We function with gumption knowing it's His ministry, not ours. Number two, we function with gumption knowing it is a symphony, not a solo. Last one, but it's so important. Listen to this. We function with gumption knowing it is to benefit the body, not build our ego. Not build our reputations. Listen, let me say it again. We function with gumption knowing it is to the benefit of the body. It is to benefit the body, not build our reputations or our ego. Is that important? Incredibly so. Incredibly so. Because listen to what I know. God will not honor any ministry that robs Him of His glory. God will not honor any ministry that is designed to puff up pride in anybody's life. No, our functioning is to benefit the body. Verse 7, for the profit of all. Verse 25, the members should have the same care for one another. Verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I want you to see something in Ephesians 4. If your Bible's still open, you can turn there with me. It's very close. Ephesians chapter 4, and by the way, Ephesians is one of the great, great letters to the church. But in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to start reading at verse 11. Just listen to this. Talking about God now. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. By the way, I never read that without reminding people. I'm a gift of God to you. I just want you to know that. That's what it says there. And you know, I'm just simply saying, but you know, that's the truth. Every member of the body is a gift of God to the rest of the body. Every member. Okay, so don't miss that. And look what it says here in verse 12. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, listen church, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, Holy Spirit, teach this, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We function with gumption. When we understand, when we know it is to benefit the body, never to build our reputations. I used to tell a lot of stories on my brother Bud. My brother Bud's 14 months older than I am. I'm the baby of the family. He's next. And he was not always kind to me. No. And I remember we would often have people over at our house and friends from school. And so we had one of our friends. His name is Jim Baker. Jim came to spend the night with us. And Mom took the time to fix some nice cookies for us to take on Dude Tate's bus ride as a long ride, and to take that with us so we'd have something for the trip and maybe at school. And so we got on that bus, and my brother Bud ate all the cookies. Now, how many of you think that I felt it was my duty to let Mom know about that, huh? Yeah, I did. And it's a true story. It was one of those times that she walked out of the house to that little tree and pulled off another little limb. Not politically correct, is it? But anyway, she applied that to him. And because those cookies were not all for him. And I'm just wondering something. I'm wondering if some of us have been keeping the cookies. God gave those to us so we could bless a lot of people around us. But if we leave our gifts unwrapped, or if we keep things selfishly to ourselves, we are robbing others of the ministry that God has given to us. He'll probably use somebody else, but you will lose if you do not function with gumption. Every member of Christ's church can have the gumption to function. We function knowing it's to benefit the body, not build our reputation. So the future starts here. What's ahead 6 months from now? What's ahead tomorrow? What's ahead a year from now for Ridgecrest Baptist Church? What's ahead? You say, oh, well, I think it's... No. Let me tell you. What is ahead depends upon the decisions we make and the commitments we make now. Now. So I'm ready. You can count me in, by the way. You can count me in. If you have this, pull it out. If you're head of the household, then you take that. Or if you share that role with somebody else, you know, I'm not getting into husband or not wife relationships. I can do that another time. But just if you have family with you, let them look with you, because there may just be one of these. Now, I think there are extra out at the welcome centers and some other places. But if not, we will certainly have more of these. But anyway, here it is. Count me in. And this is the first pledge. It says, I am a church member. They all start that way. Now, let me just read this. It's there in front of you, but I want to read it. I like the metaphor of membership. It's not membership as in a civic organization or a country club. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member, whether I'm an eye, an ear, or a hand. And as a functioning member, I will give. I will serve. I will minister. I will evangelize. I will study. I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians 12:26. My friends, can I say something? This commitment has teeth in it. It has teeth in it. It has the potential to kind of bite our lives. Because the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It can pierce. Don't do this lightly. And by the way, there's a place for you to sign it and date it, but you're going to take it home with you. We're not taking them up. You say, well, that's crazy. If you don't take them up, people won't do it. If you are not going to do it, you won't do it because you leave it here. So I want you to take it home. I'd love you to put it somewhere conspicuous in your house. Sit down at your table with your family and go through it. I would encourage you to do it every day. And by next week, you'll have a second one. Keep both of them. And by the end of 6 weeks, you'll have six of them. But listen to me. Here's my heart as your friend. Here's my heart as your pastor. These commitments can change the future. The commitments we make today fashion tomorrow's future. I'm convinced of that. And I'm asking you to do that. Before we ever do anything else, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give you a chance, if you're ready, to sign. And again, you can pass it to the members of your family. They can all sign. It's blank on the back. It's fine with me. But especially one person in the family, do that. Let's pray. Father, I rejoice that I am a member of the body of Christ. That blows my mind. That I have a part to play in this grand and glorious story of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for me. He was buried for me. He rose from the dead for me, and not just me only, but for all the world, all the world. So, Father, give me the gumption to function. Help me to make this commitment and live it out. And, Father, thank you that you've been working on me now for about 53 years or so. And I thank you for that. Keep working, Lord, because I'm not done yet. And I know that. Help my friends, Lord. Help my friends. Some of them have been a little bit on the sideline. Help them to get in the game. Give us all gumption to function. In Jesus' name.